It's the Sunday after Thanksgiving, and we're all filled with turkey and dressing, and macaroni and cheese and collard greens, and various beverages. And then we stand to preach. We need God's grace and mercy today. Amen. I want to read from the book of Isaiah, chapter 2, verse 1 through verse 5, the New International Version. This is what Isaiah, son of Amos, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In the last days, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as the highest of the mountains. It will be exalted above the hills, and all nations will stream to it. Many peoples will come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the temple of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways so that we may walk in his paths. The law will go out from Zion, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He will judge between the nations and will settle disputes for many peoples. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war anymore. Come, descendants of Jacob, let us walk in the light of the Lord." The word of our God. The ways of God. Every 4 years, the Olympic Games are held. There is the Winter Olympics and the Summer Olympics. And I enjoy watching the Olympic Games, especially the opening and closing ceremonies. It's always powerful for me when athletes from around the world join in the powerful procession of nations. Each participating country wears the colors of that country. One of the athletes leads each group carrying the nation's flag. During the procession, we see the unity of nations around the globe. We see athletes gather despite differences of race, religion, gender, and political positions. It's a powerful display of our common humanity and our connectedness as occupants of this planet. If we could take that spirit of connectedness and embody it beyond the Olympic Games, the world would be a much better place. The invasion of Ukraine would not have occurred if Vladimir Putin understood our common humanity. I reference the procession of nations during the Olympics because our text in Isaiah envisions a grand procession of nations traveling to the city of Zion. The prophet presents a vision of world peace. He announces the elevation of Zion. He says, "Zion will be lifted above all the other hills and be the highest hill." He announces the establishment of justice and peace among the nations. Today is the first Sunday of Advent. And Advent is a Christian season of hope and expectation. During Advent, we celebrate two comings of Christ, the first coming of Christ as a baby in Bethlehem to bring hope and salvation to the world. That's what Advent is about, the coming of Christ as an infant. But we also celebrate the second coming of Christ as a King of Kings who will usher in the full reign of God's kingdom at the end of the age. So Advent is about hope and expectation. And that's what the passage in Isaiah is all about. The prophet sends a message to Judah and Jerusalem about the vision of God for all the nations of the earth. God has a vision of international peace and justice. God envisions a world in which nations do not gather for war, but for righteousness, for justice, and for peace. How will that happen? How will this vision be accomplished? The prophet tells us about this grand entourage of nations gathering in Zion to learn the ways of God. His point is, there can be no peace among the nations unless the nations learn the ways of God. And that's why he says, in the last days, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as the highest of mountains. It will be exalted above the hills, and all nations will stream to it. Many peoples will come and say, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the temple of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways so that we may walk in his paths. Why must we learn the ways of God? God's ways are higher than our ways. In Isaiah 55, verses 7 through 9, the Bible says, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. God's ways are higher than our ways. The nations of the earth engage in disputes and war because they do not understand the ways of God. Their penchant for power, their desire for expansion, their lack of concern for others are human ways. It's worldly, earthly ways of operating. And so Isaiah tells the people to forsake their ways. He tells the unrighteous to forsake their thoughts. He calls for a return to God and for repentance. You see, we cannot do right until we get right with God. The reason? God's ways are higher than our ways. You see, God is concerned about justice. God is concerned about the right treatment of others, especially those who are different. God is concerned about the poor and the oppressed, and God's ways are grounded in grace and compassion. So when you find persons who have no concern for the poor, the oppressed, and those who are different, they are not operating by God's ways. They're operating by human ways. God's thinking is on a level that is far higher than a human level. And it is only when we submit to God that we access God's ways. Sometimes we think we're doing what God wants us to do, but we fail to realize that our humanity clouds our perspective and clouds our judgment. We have to learn God's ways because God's ways are higher than our ways. I watched a movie recently about a young woman who became pregnant out of wedlock. And the movie was set in the 1940s. Her father was an Episcopal priest. He decides to send his daughter away to a rural community in the South. He also arranges for a pastor in that community to arrange a hasty marriage with a local farmer. The day his daughter arrives in this community, the arranged marriage takes place. She goes into the church and goes into a room and meets her husband for the first time. Thankfully, the farmer is a nice man. He accepts a woman whom he doesn't know. He accepts the fact that she is pregnant, and the woman is embraced by the farmer, the farmer's family, and the community. And at one point in the movie, the woman says, "I've been here 6 months, and I've experienced more love than the 25 years I spent in my father's house." What an indictment for her father, who was an Episcopal priest. I'm sure that the father did what he thought was right. I'm sure he thought he was doing the moral and religious thing. If your daughter is pregnant out of wedlock, you shuffle her off somewhere, you push her away to hide the scandal. But his ways were not God's ways. Too often, we operate on a human level, and years ago that happened all over the country. If you were pregnant up north, they sent you down south. If you were pregnant down south, they sent you to stay with relatives up north, hiding, where they forced daughters to give their babies away and give them up for adoption. Parents mean well, but their decisions can bring years of hurt, rejection, and pain to their pregnant daughters. God's ways are higher than our ways. And sometimes the way we look at it is from a human perspective, and we have to learn sometimes to look at it from a divine perspective. We're seeing things from the bottom up, but we need to learn to view things from the top down. Why do we need God's ways? God's ways are higher than our ways. And how do we learn? How do we learn God's ways? God has to teach us God's ways. God has to teach us. Many peoples will come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the temple of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways so that we may walk in his paths. The law will go out from Zion, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He will judge between the nations and will settle disputes for many people." This grand procession of nations to Zion is significant. They travel to the city of God. And the reason is God is in Zion. The people know they need instructions from God. And the only way they can learn God's ways is to get the lessons from God. God is the teacher. God is the expert on God's ways. If you want to know what God thinks, talk with God. God is the resident expert. That's why the psalmist says, "Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart." The nations are summoned to God's temple in Zion. They're called to not only worship, but hear instruction in the Torah. God will be the teacher. God will explain the ways that lead to peace and justice. You see, there are some things that only God can teach us. When we look at each other, we always find excuses for our thoughts and our behavior. I'm guilty of that as well. There will always be someone better, and there will always be someone worse. So you cannot compare how you're living to how another person is living. But when we look to God, we get the proper measurement, and we get the proper instruction. And so the psalmist asks God to teach him God's ways so that he can observe them with his whole heart. We need God to teach us. And some of us are too obstinate for somebody else to teach us. We need God to break through in our hearts, in our minds, and in our spirits to speak to us about God's ways. And as a teacher, God will also be the adjudicator. God will judge between the nations, and God will declare who is just and who is unjust. I told you that that movie was set in the 1940s. It takes place during the period right after the bombing of Pearl Harbor by Japan. And in the movie, some of the characters are Japanese Americans. They were put in internment camps. Someone in this country decides that one response to the bombing of Pearl Harbor is to round up all the Japanese Americans and force them into internment camps. And so they take Japanese Americans from their homes, from their jobs, from their businesses, and from their schools. And they place them in camps. But not only are they placed in camps, they're also forced to work on farms and in other places. And so this pastor's pregnant daughter, who's been banished from her own home, runs into two Japanese women who are working on her new husband's potato farm. And these young women tell her they were in college. One was at USC and one was at, I forget the name of it. But they were dragged from college and placed in a camp to work on a potato farm. And I'm sure that like the farmer, those who made that decision were religious. They were Catholic. They were Protestant. They were religious folk working in Congress, working in government. But they had not learned the ways of God. Because when you don't know the ways of God, you make stupid and inhumane decisions when God doesn't teach you God's ways. We have to be careful about listening to folk who in the name of Christianity, in the name of faith, in the name of religion, are spewing out all kinds of hatred and all kinds of prejudices across this country and justifying it on the basis of their biblical interpretations. We need to learn God's ways, and we need God to teach us. And perhaps some of us clergy ought not to be behind pulpits standing in at the behest of God when we're not operating according to God's ways and the true faith. We need God to teach us. Our task as believers is to live by God's ways. Text says, He will judge between the nations and will settle disputes for many peoples. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war anymore. Come, descendants of Jacob, let us walk in the light of the Lord. God doesn't gather the nations in Zion for sport. God doesn't gather the nations in Zion just to have a good opening ceremony. God gathers the nations for divine transformation. God decides to personally teach the nations so they can leave Zion and live under God's vision for the world. You see, worship ought to make us better. Worship ought to make us more like God. Worship, when we leave worship, we shouldn't just say the song was like this, the message was like that, the fellowship was like this. We ought to be better when we leave out of here. It ought to transform us. It ought to change our lives. According to Isaiah, when the people get instruction from God, then they are to walk in God's ways. So our task is to live under God's ways. There are two important words in the text. One is teach, and the other is walk. God does the teaching, and we do the walking. And the result is a transformation of relationships. Look at what happens. The nations take their weapons of war, their spears and their swords. They take them to blacksmiths. And the blacksmiths take those weapons of war and transform them into farm equipment. The swords become plowshares. The spears become pruning hooks. And nations do not fight other nations. And nations no longer train for war. When the nations receive God's teaching, people will walk in the light of the Lord. They will be guided by God's glory. The point is, God calls upon the nations to live by God's ways. God teaches the nations to live with justice and righteousness. It is only then that God's vision of peace can be established in the land. This is instructive for us. Too often, we fail to get into the Word. We talk about the Word. We quote the Word. But we don't get into it. We fail to let the Word get in us. And too often the folk leading in our congregations, leading in our houses of worship, are folk who have no concept of the Word and God's ways. And what comes out of us is everything but the Word. And when the Word is in us, we live by the ways of God. The trouble with the Olympic Games is, after all of the unity and camaraderie shown during the games, after the closing ceremony, athletes return to their countries and it's business as usual. We go right back to our differences. We go right back to our prejudices. We go right back to our political agendas. Same thing happened when many of the black soldiers who fought in World War I came back to this country. They went all over Europe fighting for this country and came back and faced racism and discrimination. It was back to business as usual. And some of those soldiers were even lynched in this country after having put their lives on the line for this country. We failed to put into practice the lessons we learn from God. But God is calling upon us to learn God's ways. And when we learn them, to go out and live under God's ways. We are called to walk in the light of God. And what does that mean? Does it mean walk around with a light glowing around your head? No. It means walk and stand up for the poor. It means walk and open your mouth when discrimination is taking place. It means walk and fight against injustice. It means walk for the right treatment of everybody. It means to walk under God's ways. The insurrection, at our nation's capital, is an example of what can happen when we train for war. It is an example of what can happen when those in power have no relationship with God. It is an example of what can happen when persons of faith let their political agendas trump their religious commitment to God. It is an example of what can happen when followers of Christ do not stand up for the true faith of Jesus Christ. We cannot simply say, listen to these Christian evangelicals. They're promoting the wrong agenda. We cannot simply be upset because of what they are saying and what they are doing. We've got to stand up ourselves and get our voices out there and let somebody know what the true faith of Jesus Christ is all about. It is an example of what happens when people elevate their nation's flag above God. We are one nation under God. And let me tell you something. America is not synonymous with the Christian faith. There are Christians in America or in the United States, but it's not the one and the same thing. And so you cannot say that your love of country equates to your love of God. God has to be first. God has to be in charge. God has to have the preeminence over the flag. As we celebrate this Advent season, Isaiah has given us a grand vision of hope. He has given us a picture of what the world can be. And that vision is only possible through divine transformation. Thank God for having the foresight to know that we cannot do it by ourselves. And so God sends Jesus, the Prince of Peace, to usher in God's reign and bring salvation. And when he comes, he brings the power for transformation. We need Jesus to help us walk in the light. We need Jesus to lead us and guide us each day. This country needs Jesus. And this country needs people who know Jesus to speak up for Jesus and to live the faith of Jesus every day. Our world needs Jesus. The ways of God. I want to extend the invitation to Christ and invite you to consider walking in the light of the Lord. If we don't shift in this nation and in this world, we're headed for destruction. And if we don't stop some of these maniacs from spewing out the hate and the divisive rhetoric around this country and around this world, things are going to get worse. And if we don't take a stand and say no more and embody the vision God has for peace and for justice, we're going to be in trouble, beloved. We're already in trouble. I know you're praying about it. I know you're thinking about it every day because we see it all around us. People are troubled. Young people are troubled. Families are troubled. Communities are troubled. Governments are troubled. We need the people of God to be the light of Christ and to get that vision for a better world out there. And I invite you to join us in this vision. I invite you to walk with Jesus as we try to follow him each day. The invitation is extended as our ushers, as our deacons, ministers, and greeters come. You're invited to come. Will you stand with me?
My strength and power to help me.
Won't you come?
Each day will be. Lead me, O Lord.
I am lost. I am lost.
I am lost. If you take your hand from me,
I'm blind.
I am blind.
Without
always let me thy servant be. Oh, lead me, oh Lord.
Won't you help me? Hallelujah. Oh,
lead me, guide me along the way. Oh,
God bless you. Amen. We thank God for these who have come forward. Let us hear from our clerks.
Good afternoon. We are so blessed this morning to have several to come to unite with our church. Jasmine Smith and Justin Smith. Both coming as from Christian Experience. And they would like to have their baby blessed as well. Mm-hmm. We also have Aaliyah Frazier coming to be baptized.
Aaliyah, won't you come and stand next to me? So you want to be baptized?
Yeah.
And you believe in Jesus Christ?
Yeah.
Amen. Well, we're going to certainly baptize you. Amen. You've heard the statement from this sweet young child who's been brought up here in this church and taught and nurtured here. So just say amen to receive her as a candidate for baptism. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. All right, and Mr. and Mrs. Smith, will you stand here, Justin and Jasmine? They have been coming for some time, and we have been praying for them, and I thank you so much, Ebenezer, for the way you have embraced them as a young family. And so you want to join our church by Christian Experience. Would you like to make a statement to us?
Yes, absolutely. We definitely appreciate everything that you guys have done. We have been to different churches here, but the amount of love that you guys have showed us is impeccable. We really appreciate you guys. Amen. Thank you.
Yes, same. It took us a minute because we just wanted to like make sure we were on the same page. Yeah. Every Sunday we're like, is it now? Is it now? So, yeah, we feel like this is home. Like, it feels like home. So, and our baby loves their shoes. Thank you, guys.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. We thank God for Justin and Jasmine coming forward as for membership as on Christian Experience. Say amen as we welcome them and receive them into our church. And certainly we will arrange to have the blessing for the baby. She was bouncing in my wife's lap last Sunday, and she had a great time holding her last week. So God bless you and welcome to Ebenezer.
You
can go back to your seat. And so if Aaliyah is ready, we can baptize on the first Sunday. We already have a baptism scheduled for the first Sunday, next Sunday. And be in prayer for both candidates for baptism next Sunday. What a wonderful way to end the year with bringing new persons into the family of God and into the family here at Ebenezer Third Baptist Church. God bless you.